Thank you, Bill, for that wonderful message. And looking to Jesus is also one of my themes. Have you got the clicker? Thank you. You can see the slide behind me, the fruit that will last. That is what is being burned into my heart this morning, that it's about building something that will outlive us, something that will last forever. And Jesus said that he chose us to bear fruit, fruit that will last. And this is how we bear fruit, that we show ourselves to be his disciples, that we show the community around what it means to follow Jesus. And that's what I want to talk to you about today. As a leadership team, we studied the scriptures together recently. We studied scriptures that we knew very well. But as we came to the end of that 2 hours or so studying and praying, this is what we came up with, that we aim to be a church which is fully devoted in following Jesus, making disciples who make a difference, sharing good news in the whole of life. And at the same time, I've been reading in John chapter 1 about how we do that. So would you turn with me, please, to John chapter 1 and verse 29. See, we need some examples, and John the Baptist is a great example. Andrew is a great example of how to do this. The next day, John saw Jesus coming towards him and said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is the one I meant when I said, 'A man who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but the reason I came baptizing with water was that he might be revealed to Israel. Then John gave this testimony, 'I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him. I would not have known him except that the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, "The man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is he who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. I have seen and I testify that this is the Son of God.'" The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples, and when he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." And when the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning round, Jesus saw them following and asked, "What do you want?" They said, "Rabbi, where are you staying?" "Come," he replied, "and you will see." So they went and saw where he was staying and spent that day with him. It was about the 10th hour. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. And the first thing Andrew did was to find Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah," that is the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. He brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas," which when translated means Peter. Fully devoted followers of Jesus. John the Baptist was a great witness. He was great at sharing good news. He was great at pointing people to Jesus. Before he could point people to Jesus, he needed to see Jesus. He needed to understand who Jesus was. He needed to understand that who Jesus is and what he has done is the answer to the question in everybody's heart. You see, things have not changed in the fundamentals of the faith. Human beings have not changed since Adam and Eve. We need relationship with God. We mess up, and we need to be forgiven. And John saw Jesus, and he said, "This one is the only one who can meet that need. He is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And Andrew and this other guy, probably John, was with him. And they heard him say, "Look over there. Look at this one Jesus. He is the one who can meet our greatest needs." And that's what we need to do as a church. In all that we say and all that we do, we need to be pointing people to Jesus. Sometimes it will be with actions, things we do together as a church, like Christians Against Poverty or Holiday Club, or other times it will be with words on the Alpha Course. Sometimes it will be in the local community. Sometimes it will be where we are far flung throughout the week. But wherever we are, we must be a signpost to Jesus by how we live. We need to live in such a way that people ask the question, "Why do you do that? Why do you live that way?" And as people ask us, then we share the good news that Jesus is the one who is the Savior of the world. He is the one who is the Lord of all. But we need to have a relationship with Jesus which enables us to have that overflow. Another great witness in the 19th century was a man called Charles Spurgeon. Many of you have heard his name. He was one of the greatest preachers that's ever lived. But when he was 15 years old, he had read all the books. His dad was a preacher. His grandfather was a preacher. He knew the whole story, but it had no impact on him personally. One night, it was snowing. He wasn't able to get to his normal church service. He wandered into this church. There was 12 people there. The minister didn't turn up. And this guy got up, and he just looked at Charles Spurgeon, and he said, "You're miserable. You'll always be miserable unless you look to Jesus." And he knew all the stuff. And somehow, in what that man said to him, he understood that by putting his faith and his trust in Jesus was actually the whole keystone to his whole life. And they said that when he shared about Jesus, he shared so powerfully that he didn't just talk about religion. He didn't just talk about faith. He talked about Jesus. He couldn't stop talking about Jesus, because the whole starting point for him was to see this Jesus and be transformed by this Jesus. We know that Mary sat at Jesus' feet, and she got criticized for it. Said, "Come on, you need to do something. You need to do something. Don't just sit there." And Jesus said, "Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things, but she has chosen the best part." You see, if we want to share about Jesus, but we don't sit at Jesus' feet and listen to him and gaze at who he is and wonder at who he is, then when we get up and tell people, it'll just be like a clanging cymbal. It'll be a dead message. But if we have spent time with Jesus and then we share about Jesus, then it will be vibrant. It will be life-changing. You see, we need that full devotion. Like the early church who gathered, they didn't just turn up on a Sunday and say, "Well, that was a good sermon." They met regularly. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. They devoted themselves to prayer. They devoted themselves to the fellowship. They devoted themselves to social action. And the community said, "What does this mean?" And they pointed and they said, Peter stood up. Peter stood up and he said that Jesus is Lord and Messiah. But how did Peter do that? We think about Peter, this this great preacher, 3,000 people turned to Jesus on that day. We think about Peter, who gives that amazing verse about sharing good news. He says that everyone needs to be prepared, to be ready to give a reason for the hope that's in them. Peter said that. But where did Peter begin? Let's go right back. And actually, we go right back to Andrew. Andrew, who heard John the Baptist say, Jesus is the one, look to him. Andrew looks to John the Baptist. He looks to Jesus. He attaches himself to him. Jesus turns around and says, what do you want? What are you looking for? And Andrew's thinking, I don't want to tell you here in public. I don't want to tell you all my questions. I don't want to tell you all my vulnerabilities. Can we go somewhere a bit more private? Where are you staying? Come and see. And they spend time. They spend time in a home from 4 o'clock in the afternoon to the end of the day. And Andrew comes back and he goes, come and meet the Messiah. I've met the Messiah. This time from 4 o'clock in the afternoon till midnight perhaps, he was transformed. You see, it's not just about turning up once a week and saying, well, that was a great sermon. It's about spending time gathering in such a way that we can learn and be transformed, that we can know and be known, that we can help one another to become disciples. And there's got to be intentionality. You see, when Peter, the whole story in John is about discovering more about Jesus. And we know later on that there was a time when they were mending their nets, and Jesus says, come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And that's the key message this morning, that how do we bear fruit? We need to show ourselves to be Jesus' disciples. That showing is witness. How we make disciples is with a view to sharing our faith. It's not just about getting to know the Bible. Remember Spurgeon, he knew the Bible. He'd read all his dad's books. He'd read all his grandfather's books. But when he came to know Jesus, he told everyone about Jesus. And we need to be gathering in such a way that we can all be growing in our relationship with Jesus, and we can all be learning how to share Jesus with people who we meet. And for some of us, it will be right at the beginning of the journey, and we'll need a particular type of gathering. And at different stages of life, different life challenges will need different ways, but we must gather to make disciples who make a difference. Everyone has got a front line of mission, whether it's in the school, whether it's in the workplace, whether it's in the local community, whether it's with the grandchildren. And we need to be supported in that place. We need to know that we've been prayed for, that we're not alone as we go out to share good news. And that can't happen on a Sunday morning between 11 o'clock and 12:15. It needs to happen at some other time in the week. We need to invest. And if we're too busy, we're too busy. We need to show people that we are Jesus' disciples by the way we work, by the character that we have, by the grace and love in our lives, by what we say, standing up for truth and justice, and when the opportunity comes to tell them that Jesus is Savior and Lord. See, that discipleship, if we get discipleship right, all the other problems get solved. That's why Jesus, in his final commission, said, go and make disciples. And if we can understand what it means to make disciples today, that will be the key to everything else. Each of us needs one person that we're learning from that's helping us, that's challenging us. Each one of us needs to have two running mates that we can share with, that we can completely open with, that we can be honest with about the secret things of our life and be accountable and real. That can't happen in a group of 300 people. And then we need to have people that we're passing the baton on, people that we're sharing with. That's all I need to share with you for now, but we will say more next year. We will say more next year. Even our own Prime Minister this week has encouraged us. She says, "I'm sure that we would all want to ensure that people at work do feel able to speak about their faith and also to be able to speak quite freely about Christmas." The Prime Minister says we can do it. Jesus always said we could do it. So why do we feel that we can't do it? Let's go forward. And Bill shouted in a loud voice, he says, "The best is yet to come." And at the end of John's gospel, these disciples who were opening their eyes to see who Jesus was, opening their ears to hear what he had done, they heard Jesus say these words, "You will see even greater things than these." That's what he said to Nathanael. "You will see even greater things than these." As they committed themselves to looking to Jesus, to gathering with Jesus, to following Jesus, to becoming his followers, and to share with others how wonderful Jesus was. That was the beginning. But God came down and did amazing things through them. And I pray that he'll do that for us too. Let us pray. Father, we thank you that you are able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, but we pray that you would help us to be faithful to your command to go and bear fruit, and to be faithful to your command to make disciples who will share good news. I pray that we will build something that will last, that will outlive us by your grace. But now, Lord, we pray that out of your glorious riches, you may strengthen us with power, each one of us here today, through your Spirit in our inner being, that Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith, and that we be rooted and established in love, may have power once again to grasp together how wide and long and high and deep is your love, and to know your love personally and together, a love that surpasses knowledge, and that your Spirit may fill us to the measure of all the fullness of God. To him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to you be the glory, always. Amen.